Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekend discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
My guest today, Troy Fields, my good friend. In fact, Troy was the one who sponsored me in the Rotary, for which I am very appreciative because it is one of my areas that I love and faithfully attend the meetings, and now I'm a member of the board. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, Troy.
I understand you're born in Tulsa, but basically you grew up in Texas.
I tell everybody I was born in Oklahoma, but I got to Texas as quick as I could.
And you went to Texas Tech, and I understand that within Texas Tech, initially you wanted to be a psychologist.
That was my intention when I went out there, but I read an ad in the campus newspaper that they needed radio announcers, and I went over to the radio station. In about 30 days, I went from new announcer to manager of the station, and that kind of ended my college career. I really got into radio, eventually did radio with several local stations, and that's how I got in the Army. They were going to draft me, and I decided that I'd rather enlist in order to get the school that I wanted, and they sent me up to New York to the announcing school and then to Puerto Rico in 1961.
So basically radio, and you've come full swing in
yes.
Radio. Radio is what you did in your college. You then got in the Army. You got involved with radio. Then your initial works here as a job was in radio. I understand you told me that you worked with WKYN, a Puerto Rico station, and the name Sally Jesse Raphael rings a bell as somebody, the Oprah Winfrey kind of standing. I hadn't realized that as a person that started a show here in Puerto Rico.
Yes, she started her career here. It was very successful as a radio, not so much as an interviewer, more. Although she did interviews, but just doing a kind of a talk show for us at WKYN, and as I say, was very successful. And then the next thing I knew, I saw her on television. I say, hey, I know. She was just Sally Jesse when she was here, but when she went to TV, she became Sally Jesse Raphael, same lady.
Okay, terrific, terrific. And you come back to radio. How did that happen? And what have you liked about radio? What brought you back, and what did you like, and what do you like about radio?
Well, our pastor at Union Church told me one day, and I, of course, have known Sherman. We've both been president of the San Juan Rotary Club and president of the San Juan Community Library and good friends for a long time, was looking for someone to do their afternoon newscast. So I came over and offered to do that for Sherman. And then about a year later, I said, I'd like to do something that's a little bit more creative and sort of be a disc jockey between our feature programs in the afternoon. And he said, well, all right, let's try it. And so that was the inception of TNT. And what I really like about Radio Jorge is the opportunity to do things instantaneously, particularly in the area of covering news. And then also for the kind of show that I do in the afternoons from 5 until 7 is the opportunity to be creative, to do something really creative. I found that for anything that I do, I cannot follow the book. I've got to be able to have some flexibility and to create, and that's been, I think, the hallmark of the things that I've done through life. Everything that I've really gotten satisfaction out of, it was something that I created and built on my own.
Yeah, I listen to you, and you come up with ideas and with new areas that are fun. I mean, it's enlightening, and also at the same time, fun to listen to.
So we try to make that drive home a little bit more pleasant.
In terms of when you think back in your career, what was a critical moment where you ended up with a lot of stress, you weren't able to sleep, you had a lot of concerns, and now looking back, you say, man, I wish I've had the experience, and if I'd like to pass this on to my kids and to the radio listeners. Is there anything that was life smooth for you all the way through? Was there a moment of real tension and not looking
hardly.
Back? Not hardly. Okay.
I think the moments of most tension in my life were also the moment of big change in my life. I had just, with the help from a lot of wonderful people, formed Junior Achievement in Puerto Rico, and I mentioned to one of my cohorts that I wanted to go into business for myself, and he told me about a business that was available. I went out and saw the business. It was called Isla del Sol, a ceramics company, and within 24 hours we bought the business, and I woke up the next day and said, my Lord, what have I done? And Jorge, I can remember for quite some time after that, I was just in a trauma. I really think I've never had a nervous breakdown, but I think if I was certainly close to it, that was it. Until things began to, I began to get the whole thing under my belt, so to speak, and get it off and running, and it was a business that was frothed with problems, but it was a real education in the 10 years that we ran Isla del Sol.
Was your wife in favor of the purchase?
No, I don't think so, but she was very supportive once it was done.
Fait accompli, nothing she could do about it. And did you do it by yourself or with someone?
Well, as I say, I had mentioned this to my friend who was a managing partner of one of the big public accounting firms, and he and I were the first partners, and then we added several other partners as time went along. We found that the business really wasn't set up to be a profitable business, and so we had to make some major changes, and we brought in some new partners, many of whom I'm sure you know, Ray O'Neill and Eddie Borges, to mention a few, and we were very happy to have their support.
And in terms of dealing with partners, stockholders, did you have conflicts? Did you were able to get along? Did you have any problems in that from that point of view in terms of running the business? How long was the business? How long did the business run? How long were you involved with the business?
We ran the business for 10 years.
And in that, did you have problems with any of the partners? Any problems from that end?
Never did, Jorge. I was so fortunate. We had most of our partners were fairly arm length partners. There were just a few that were more involved in the business, but none of them ever gave us a hard time. They realized that we were doing everything possible and, frankly, had no other ideas about how we could make it better. But it was a very interesting time in my life.
What do you think were the factors for this wasn't meant to be nonprofit, but the factors for not making money in this business. What do you think were the factors, the principal factors?
Because it was started by the government, and the government didn't have a business plan. The government had overloaded the business with tremendous overhead and minimal production facilities. And being, I don't know, 28 or 29 when I bought the business, I had no business experience. We didn't do the proper research. I endowed my partner, who was a managing partner of a public accounting firm, with the knowledge that this was a viable business, and unfortunately he hadn't done his homework, and so it just was not set up by the government to be a viable business because they did not have the production facility and they had overloaded it with too much overhead.
It was in ceramics, so it was artistic. What was the background of how it was started, and what were the, you know, in terms of the what you confronted that you didn't expect, because you know the government gives it to you, or you buy it from the government. You didn't buy it from the government, right?
No, you bought it from a private.
So it had gone through private hands for a while. So, you know, things, there must be other things besides the government, because, you know, they could put the thing back in shape. But there must have been some other reason why the business didn't get off the ground, other than having too many professionals. One thing I think we can learn is don't bring CPAs and lawyers after now. Those are the people you mentioned as your partners. They're good. They're good. They handle the books and good. They handle the minutes. But I don't think they're too good in helping you administer.
I think you're probably right, Ori. The business had been founded by the government. Luis Munoz Marin, our governor, had decided that with Operation Bootstrap being so successful that we needed a cultural entity. We needed a cultural side of our situation here. And so he started the Casals Festival, and he started what was called initially Carolina Craft Center in order to develop an indigenous craft on the island. And again, the just had set up a manufacturing plant that was huge, with which to a great extent was needed, but with a lot of rent and very small facilities to actually produce the product. In ceramics, you have to pass through an oven or a kiln, and they had very, very small kilns, so we couldn't produce enough product to and charge enough for it to cover the overhead just in the rent of the building, for example. We tried a lot of different things, and we were very happy to be able to get a huge contract for the Serramar Hotel to do all of the nightstands and coffee tables. We did some beautiful plaques at the Caribbean Hilton that used to be on the wall of the tower over there. We made some beautiful products, and they're still, I think, collector's items in a lot of homes in Puerto Rico, but we just weren't able to charge enough for those products in order to cover the overhead.
And how about clay? I mean, we've always had a problem mining, that's the thing, but did we have clay in Puerto Rico? Is that a problem? No,
they had brought a ceramist from Alfred University, which is one of the leading ceramic universities in the country, down to develop the clay body, and he decided that we should produce products in a type of ceramic that's called stoneware, which is fired at a higher temperature than earthenware, where the company called Los Bohios, that was moderately successful out on Highway Number 3, who used local clays for pottery in earthenware. But we had to import all of our clays. And as you know, when you import your raw materials and you have a high cost of importing, which is in the case of clay, which is just dirt and very heavy, and consequently we had a very high cost to bring in our raw materials. All of our labor was hand done, so we had a high labor cost, and then small capacity to actually fire the ware. So it was just, it really, honestly, was a business that was doomed from the outset. But we made a lot of changes, but we just weren't able to make it.
But you fought for 10 years, so you were persevering.
Some of my partners said, why are you still doing this? And I keep hoping we're going to be able to turn the corner someday.
And how did you get out of it? You closed the plant?
The company finally had to go into bankruptcy because we just didn't have the wherewithal to keep going.
So, okay, well, we'll go into now another aspect of you. We'll take a break right now. And